Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shoftim Perek Gimel. And so we were introduced yesterday to an overview of the period of the Shoftim, in which we come to recognize that we are dealing really with chaos, in which no one knows what they're doing, there is no central control, and that from time to time an individual arises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to be Ma'ir Yisrael. But that what was initially, at the time of Yehoshua, a logistical problem, which was the Yerusha of the remaining areas that had not yet been given, became after the death of Yehoshua not a logistical problem, but a spiritual problem, in which the use of the presence of those nations was a constant foil to the development of Yisrael, catalyzing the relationship to these particular Shoftim, each of whom had a particular angle, and often in very strange ways. And they acted in very strange ways, which were reflective of the essence of their Shevet, and utilized that aspect of the identity of Yisrael to ward off the current issue, but never penetrating to the bottom of the problem, which left the ongoing issue to constantly be revisited in every generation, sometimes longer times between, sometimes shorter times between. Sometimes the Yeshua was fantastic and is recorded in great detail and becomes the subject of songs for generations. And sometimes we know very little about it, but clearly had an impact that was locally important, but which was not part of what we retain in the overall nation's consciousness. And so the thing that was most striking about the previous parak in terms of the Ramazim, we remember that a lot of the words that had been used in the previous parak had shown up in the Torah. And one of the striking ones that we didn't talk about was Soru Maher. The Soru Maher Min HaDerek brings you right back to the Maisa Egel. Soru Maher Min HaDerek. And not only does it bring you right back to the Maisa Egel, but remember that the entire demands on Yisrael of not making a brit with the Goyim were a direct result of the brit following the Maisa Egel, the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the one thing you can't do is substitute some brit with the Goyim to this brit. And that's where it was brought up, which takes us all the way back to the Egel. Now what's interesting is that, as we saw, the son of Otniel ben Knaz, the sunshine of Otniel ben Knaz, was raised before the death of Yehoshua. So it was Ad Shelo Shaka Shimsho Shel Yehoshua, which of course has a very special meaning of sun, S-U-N, because of where he was buried, and that they actually put a picture of the sun on his kever to remind us of the Shemesh B'Givon Dom. And the sun, now, S-U-N, of Otniel ben Knaz had been already on the rise, the ascendant. What Otniel ben Knaz did, tell us Chazal, is that he was Dereish, that Maisa Eyo, Soru Maher, and he saw that the tefillah of Maisha Rabbeinu, which we now do not have Yehoshua, who is also Eved Hashem, who was the Nar with Moshe, and was now Mitbakesh, as we saw yesterday, and we needed him desperately and couldn't find him, and therefore we mention once again the hespet, so to speak, the missing hespet. The missing hespet is this moment where now there's nothing to do against the Goyim. That Otniel ben Knaz, who gave back all of the halachas that were forgotten by Yehoshua during the Avelut on Moshe, he was the one who reconstituted them out of his own koach ha'pilpul. He came to be Derech the Maisa Egel and demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Moshe did, it doesn't matter that basically you have agreed to upfront whether we're good or bad. This was part of the Haftaka, Yerushas Haaretz. These Goyim are included. You can't just pick up and leave. Memela, with that Keach HaDrosha, say Chazal, he actually ended up as the first Shofet being able to get Klal Yisrael out of their first real difficulty. So let's see where we are in time. Ve'ela ha'goyim asher hiniach Adonai l'nasot bam et Yisrael. These then are the goyim that we said before would be left. Originally they were just left in order to keep the infrastructure whole until we were ready to take them over. And now they exist as foils to Yisrael. את כל אשר לא ידעו, את כל מלחמות כנען. The ones, the children who had grown up without knowing the unbelievable presence of the Shekhinah in the original Milchamot of Canaan, and they didn't see HaMa'aseh HaGadol. Rak lema'an da'at dorot b'nei Yisrael lelamdan milchama. All of this now would be necessary. They would be left for da'at. For da'at means for achieving one's own identity, for looking into life and knowing in the coming generations to realize what happens when you don't act the way you should. In the Loshon of Chazal, Ladat ma hachet gorem. Look how low you can sink from people that never needed to fight. In Yericho, okay, now everyone just walk in straight ahead. What do I do? It's irrelevant. Walk in. So up until now, Raka shelafanim lo yedaum. Before, nobody knew how to fight because they didn't need to know how to fight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, walk in and they'll run. And here, they needed to learn the Lamdam Milchama. Everything became dependent on the Tachsisim, the tactics of war, the weapons of war, something that should never have been necessary for B'nai Yisrael, who should simply have held their head high and gone about their business. This very much is what happened with Zmanenu. Immediately after the Six-Day War, you didn't need weapons. Walk to the Shuk, you walk to the most frightening places, Shechem, anywhere. You simply held your head high, and every guy put their head down, afraid to look at you in the face. It was amazing. Amazing. Who would ever raise an eye to a Ben Yisrael? Alakas kama v'kama. Throw a stone? Inconceivable. And all of a sudden, yeah, you're nothing. Let's teach you how to make war, how to penetrate all of our traps, how to break through the homes. All these things that we have to learn, all these tactics, are because of the fact that there was no Laman Da'at. There was never an achievement of an identity. Mamish, within the space of 3 or 4 years. Kama Achit Gorein, astonishing.
Hebron was taken by a jeep.
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable.
Taken by what?
A jeep, one jeep.
Wow. Yeah. Just drove in and they said,
yeah, please.
So
yes,
we're not. In the old days, we used to be in Gaza. You know, you had 1,200 men all over the whole of Gaza. And it was quiet as a lamb. We were just there for window dressing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Shabak kept it all tight like a wedding cord. You know?
Amazing. Mamish Echad Elif. Exactly like that. Echad, even more?
Yeah.
It was Echad meaning Sasar Salaf. He said, we Pashit saw the Nisim, the Aftakas that were set to Meshav, you know. Echa Yadav Echad Elif. Nothing, meant nothing. And so they ended up now being there now to teach us what we needed to know up front. And who were they? Chameshet Sane Plishtim. First of all of the Plishtim. Kolak Na Niva Tzidoni V'Chivi Yoshev Hara Levanon. Same place they're still sitting over there. So all of those that are up in the mountains of Lebanon, Mi Har Baal Hermon Ad Levo Hamat. So from the Hermon all the way up to Hamat, that area was enemy territory. Vayulina Sot Bam et Israel Ladat Ayishmuet Mitzvot Adonai Asher Tzivat Avotam Biyad Moshe, to allow them to discover for themselves whether they were capable of this relationship. Uvenei Yisrael Yashvu B'Kerem. Yes, because we're about to see what happens. Uvenei Yisrael. Now we're seeing this is the facts. That was theory. That was the description. But now, yeah, that was the idea. And now there is Yisrael living in the middle of the Kanani, not living in their country, living in the middle of the Kanani, the Chiti, the Amori, the Aprizi, Vachivi, Vayevusi, rotten situation. Vayikhu et benoteihem lehem lenashim, ved benoteihem natnu livneihem, vayavdu et Eloheihem. Just as Yahushua had warned, if you're not going to get rid of them, you're going to just become like them.
They really did that? They really intermarried?
Well, yeah, I mean, don't they do it today?
Not so much.
Not so much now either, but enough to make it a complete destruction of the Yichud of Yisrael. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael et hara b'nei Adonai. Vayishkechu et Adonai Eloheihem, vayavdu et ha-be'alim, ve'et ha-asherot, And so they did indeed the evil, forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, worshipping the local gods, Vayicharach Adonai b'Yisrael, and so for the first time we find Vayimkerem b'yad Kushan Rishataim, Melech Aram Naharaim, Vayavdu b'nei Yisrael Kushan Rishataim, Shmoneh Shanim. So this Kushan Rishataim, the Gemara identifies with Lavan, with Beor. So that is connected to the whole Bilam Lavan, and he's called Kushan Rishataim because he messed us up twice. Echad bimei Yaakov and Echad bimei Ashoftim. And the other meaning is Kushan Rishataim, two Rishayot. First of all, he had promised never to be over the Galazeh, to be Meirialon. And secondly, this is the way that he treats us. So it says the Gemara, Mashmo Lavan Harami Shemo. So again, today's Gemara taught us that identification is not only in the simple physical terms, there's identification in terms of nefesh and what it is that you are and who it is that you see yourself coming from. And so for 8 years, there was misery in being now tribute to Kushan Rishataim. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Adonai. Vayokom Adonai Moshiach l'bnei Yisrael vayoshiem et Otniel ben Knaz achi chalev hakaton mimenu. Indeed, the first of the Shoftim to be the one that was chosen to go up and to fight, Yehuda Ya'aleh, this is Yehuda achi Shimon, he was the one to save b'nei Yisrael from Kushan Rishataim, vati alav ruach Adonai. And indeed, it was entirely in terms of Ruach HaKodesh that he was able to save them. And this was the Otniel that darshened the Pasuk. After Soru Maher, he says, didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe originally, Ra'o ra'iti et oni ami. What are the two lashons of Ra'od? What's the two lashon? Ro'e ani sh'atidim litot be'egel. At Mitzrayim, I already knew about the ego. V'yafal pikein oni ami. So you see that the sorrow of my hair shouldn't matter. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, Amanat came. He knew the sorrow of my hair. And therefore, don't give me the sorrow of my hair. We need to have the siyata d'shmaya. And immediately, Kadosh Baruch Hu came. Bein zakim, bein chayavim. Kadosh Baruch Hu came. Darko to be Moshiach. Obviously, you need to be able to pull that off. Just to say those words doesn't help. So if you represent that identity and that keiach of relationship, that Kadosh Baruch Hu Ro Ra'iti, you could be Moira Ro Ra'iti. And this is the keiach that he had of the Ruach Hashem, say Chazal. Vayitein Adonai b'yado et Kushan Rishataim Melech Aram. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu gave into his hands because of the keiach of his drasha and his ruach. And therefore he succeeded in the war against Kushan Rishataim. Vata'oz yado Kushan Rishataim. And they became gradually stronger and stronger until they turned him basically into now nothing. Vatishkot aretz arba'im shana. And so for 40 years he kept things going. But then vayomot Otniel ben Knaz. And as we said yesterday, the overview is the Shofet never addressed the underlying issue. He just kept people going from the keach of his own madrega and his own power. So the moment that Otniel died, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael lasot hara b'nei Adonai. And this time, Vayechazek Adonai et Aglon melech Moav al Yisrael al kiyasu et hara b'nei Adonai. This time it was Eglon, the king of Moab. Vayesof elav et b'nei Amon v'amalek. He made now treaties with Ammon and Amalek to come together and to destroy the Yerusha of Yisrael through taking over Yericho, which was the beginning of the Yerusha. Vayelech vayaket Yisrael vayushuat ir hatamarim. So that means they crossed the Yarden from Moab, from Seir, and Ammon, and ended up taking over the very Yericho that we had crossed the Yarden to take over. And we'll see that this is important ultimately in the defeat. We need to close off the Yarden. Vayavdu b'nei Yisrael et Eglon melech Moab 18 miserable years. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael al Adonai. And so we ended up crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayokem Adonai lahem Moshiach. Vayavdu means to serve him. You have to go out and to work for him. And to, that's tribute.
One area?
Apparently you were shilent on Bnei Yisrael completely. Once you get the manul of Eretz Yisrael, so then you own it.
Yericho first.
Yericho first, exactly. God help us. Yeah, and so the next shofet was Ehud ben Gera ben Hayimini. This was the man who came from the shevet that's called the right hand, but he couldn't use his right hand. He was a lefty.
That's so
funny. Ish iter yad yimino. It's amazing. Okay, so here is the guy who was from Binyamin, who was unable to use his yamin, and we'll see that became important. Vayishlachu b'nei Yisrael b'yadu mincha le'eglon melech Moab, and he became the bearer of the tribute of B'nai Yisrael, together with all of those who came from all the nations that that Eglon had now controlled. And so, Vayas lo Ehud Cherev, Velash Nepiot, Gomed Orka. So Ehud, being as he was a lefty, had the advantage of being searched on his sword side. So, which is usually the left side, because you draw the sword with your right side, your right hand. And they searched him. They didn't find any weapons, so he got to the metal detector. And he's carrying this little double-edged sword, the double-edged sword itself being a remez to v'cherif pipiot bi'adam, as it says, that's the keach of the Torah and the keach of the Gevura. So the cherif pipiot he carried now, which was very small, so it was a short tefach sword, and he had a dagger, exactly, pipiot. A dagger, perfect word. And so he put it on his right side, which nobody ever looked at, and it was hidden under his uniform. He comes now, he presents the gift to the king. Eglon is was a very fat guy. And so he brings it, and now all of the people bearing these gifts, it's a whole line of people, they each present the gift, and now they bow and they're leaving. So they're all going out. He suddenly remembers something. So he waits till everybody's out. He's at the Hushav Min Hapsilim. He comes to the place, to the area where they had been digging out, Pusher meaning of Psilim, is the place where the quarry, and that was where they had Asheret HaGilgal, which of course, Ramazim, we understand the relationship of Pesel. And he says, oh, I have to speak to him. So he goes back to speak to him, and he says, Dvar Seter Le'elecha HaMelech, I have something in private to tell you. Vayomer Has. So he says, okay, everybody shush. And you can see here the unbelievable Derech Eretz. This became the reason that Eglon's two daughters became married now to the sons of Avimelech, Machlon and Chilion. So Ruth and Orpah came from Eglon because of his Derech Eretz to a person of stature from Bnei Yisrael, who, if he had something to tell him, must come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, take everybody out.
So they were attracted by this man, his mannerism? Wait, like, Ehud was... The daughters saw the way Yisrael...
No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him that his daughters could be mitzvah for Yisrael. I mean, of course...
They had it in.
Yeah, of course, David is right. I mean, but I'm saying that's not what I was referring to. So Vayomer Has, Vayetzumi Alav Kolom Dim Alav. And so they take everybody out. The Ehud by love, Ehud approaches him. Hu yoshev baliyat ha-mekira, asher lo levado. He has a private chamber, which was air-conditioned, and that was where he would sit in the summer when it was hot.
Here,
that's why it was hot. It sure is. So Ehud says to him, it's not proper that you should sit. Dvar Elohim li elecha. I'm about to tell you something from God. So he stands up, which becomes now his chus l'dayres, this man. And meanwhile, he's struggling to get up. It's not pushing. He weighs 500 pounds, you know. And this was the moment at which he was not paying attention, Vayishlach Ehud et Yad Simolo, and so he takes with his left hand, while supposedly he's helping the Melech, his left hand grabs the sword, and he takes it, he takes the dagger, Vayikach et Acher Mi'al Yerachim, you know, off of his right thigh, Vayitka'eu Bivitno, and he gets it straight through the man's stomach and intestines, Vayavo Gam Anitzav Akar Alav. Then itzav, which is the lashon of that which holds the lav in place, the little extended piece, penetrated into his stomach so it couldn't come out. Mm. Right, so now he had that little piece that sticks up. And yeah, the itzav, that which holds the lav in place. So now he can't get it out. And vayizgor achelev ba'ad alav. So now the fat of this guy is closed over the knife. So there's the kilor shalaf. So that the knife can't, the dagger can't be pulled out. Vayetze ha-parshadon, and his stomach contents, his intestinal contents, pours out, which lamaisa stinks the room up. Since the room stunk up, the servants believed that he was using it to go to the bathroom. So now he runs out, and he's all alone. So he walks out calmly and locks the door.
Out because he's in the bathroom.
Yeah. So Vayetze Ehud Amisrdona, the Ehud goes into the outside hall. Vayiskor Daltot Aliyah Bado Vina'al. He locks the door to make it look like he's in the bathroom. Okay. Vuhu Yatsa V'Avadav Bao V'Yiru V'Ne Daltot Aliyah Nulot. The Avadim that were asked to go out, they come up to the door. They see it's locked. They smell the smell. Vayomru ach mesich u et raglav b'chadar mekira. He's obviously using the bathroom. We're not gonna sit there and bang on the door. Vayachilu ad bosh. And so they waited and waited and waited until it was. I mean, this is crazy. You'll notice the word bosh. Actually, the meaning of bosh has a double meaning. Boshesh boshel eredet b'nahar is that boy. You're sure taking a good time about it. But it's also a sense of not acting precipitously. So you're not rushing. So it comes from a lashon of ikuv. And you'll notice the beautiful thing that a spider is called an ikuv bosh, akav bish. Because the beauty of a spider is that he'll sit and wait. He won't act, he will wait.
Wow.
Ad bosh until something comes into his net, right? So that's what's happening. They're sitting here. Waiting and waiting. The guy never opens the door to the bathroom. So they go, they take the key to open up the door. By now, of course, Ehud's already escaped. The Ehud nimlat adit mamam. So while they were hesitating about opening the door, so that was a brilliant plan. So they're hesitating about opening the door. He, meanwhile, used that time to get away fast, and he gets all the way, Uavarta Psilim, he goes over the area of the Psilim, and is Yimaleta Siirata, he goes into, we saw before, remember, the mountain that was Halak and Seir, which was a remnant to Seir Yaakov, Ish Halak, Esav, Ish Seir, but it's also the definition of a mountain. So you can have hairy mountains, meaning that they have growth on them. So there's trees, tall trees, short trees, sort of like an unkempt beard. So we call it a seirita. So he now, it's which is a great place to hide out. And this Rashi points out that in Seder Zroim, we often find that word sa'ar being used for mixed growth, thicker growth, thinner growth, in which you have a lot of hiding places.
Where is this geographically?
Well, he's going to say in a moment where he goes to. But I mean, that's not where it was. He had gone actually to Eglon they had set up now the international area where they had them and their treaty members in the area of Yerefa. He escapes now. And he goes to Har Ephraim, vayi bevo, vayitka bashofar b'Har Ephraim, Vayedu imo b'nei Yisrael min ahar v'hu lifneihem. And he taking the cue from Yahushua, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned him, either you go in front of them or there's not going to be a Yeshua. So he went in front of them and he said, come after me. Vayom aleihem ritfu acharai. Kinatan Adonai et oyveichem et Moab b'yadchem. Moab has been given into your hands. But the first thing we have to do is secure the Jordan, because otherwise they'll escape. Probably not going to be able to chase them back into Moab where they have their main army. If we want to get rid of the people that are here, let's close off the Yarden so that anybody who attempts to get back into Moab will be wiped out. And then, exactly. So there was no way to get across the Yarden. These guys needed to fight it out, and they lost it. Each the best of them. Kol Shamein, in those days, a fatzi was the best. Shamein means la creme, basically.
Like what?
So, la creme. La creme de la creme. The Shamein. So the whole ish chayel, all of their best soldiers, Volonim lat ish, not one of these guys got away. And this was a tremendous, long-lasting, historic victory. Vatikana Moav b'yom ahu tachat Yad Yisrael vatishkot ha'aret 80 shana. This was an 80-year, we think, looking in retrospect, that's a short time. The entire period that we're here back from the latest sources is a lot less than that. So 80 years, but it was just a blimp on the screen of the ups and downs of Sefer Shoftim. Ve'acharav haya Shamgar ben Anat. After him came Shamgar ben Anat, who achieved a local victory. Vayaket plishtim 600 ish b'malmad abakar. He was able to get just the malmad, that's what we call a darbein, which is used as a little sharp thing at the edge to get a prod, to get the cattle to go in the direction you want. Vayosha gamhu at Yisrael. And he too, obviously this was gamhu means, as the Mitzvot points out, was not comparable. Gam always means secondary to, not comparable to the tremendous achievement of Ehud, but nonetheless, he too had a local victory. And we'll see tomorrow that the destruction that follows the death of Ehud, not the death of Shamgar ben Anat. So that the main presence, the Ruchni's presence, is the presence of Ehud. The person that's identified here is a shofet, because the point is, there is no such thing as a military leader who can defeat these goyim, unless he's also a spiritual leader. And this is as we set it up initially. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left these people there lema'an dat. First of all, that they have to achieve their identity, to learn how to fight. So that means that fighting and identity are completely interrelated. So if you don't have a shofet to teach you the way, it doesn't help to have a great army. Because the whole point of these goyim was to be a constant foil against whom they could never be successful militarily unless they were being successful in their own selves and their development.